The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty, and no Lloyd Barnes. Second week in a row, he's decided that something or anything is more important than this podcast to him. I'm very sorry the podcast wasn't here last week. Lloyd was very, very ill. He had toothache. He's still not 100%. He's a little bit better, but he's busy with Jake and the Side Chick podcast this week. So I didn't want you guys to not have another podcast 2 weeks in a row. So I arranged a special one-off co-host. I have had a massive upgrade. You know, we've gone from Lloyd Barnes and we've taken it up to an entirely new level. Somebody who, if you listen to the podcast, we talk about this man all of the time, a personal hero of mine, the one and only Mr. Peter Nardi. How you doing, Pete?
I'm good, mate. Let's just be honest here, Craig. You actually did ask for the Family Jewels to appear on here.
I did.
But unfortunately, I come as part and parcel with them. So by default, you've got me. But it's good to be here.
It's great. I must have caught you when you were drunk, because why anybody would want to be associated with this podcast, I don't know.
But, you know. As you know, I listen to it all the time, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump on there. And to be fair, my day at the moment is spent editing Craig Petty products. So I've literally listened to your voice for the last 3 days solid, and I thought, I just need another hour of Craig. So I came on. I will apologize as well. I've got a bit of a cough, so or just getting over a bit of a cough. So you might hear me coughing every so often, but I apologize for that in advance.
That's all right. Well, let's talk about how you've been and how things are going on. How are things at Alakazam? Things going well?
Oh, mate. Yeah, things are going really well. Thank you. I'm not in the shop. I think we've said this before. I'm not in the shop all the time. I'm focusing more on product development, editing and stuff like that, and getting stuff ready for the product launches. So Harry and Andy running the shop, Harry, Andy, Jenny and Emma are in there. The shop's going great. The mail order's going great. We just opened our US warehouse, so that's doing really well. We're bringing on more US customers on a daily basis, or we call them family members, because Alakazam is a big family and the Alaka fam. We're really excited. Things are really moved up a notch, and we've got releases every single month, which is incredible. That's a first for Alakazam. You know, we used to have 5 releases a year. We now have maybe 20.
And you know what? I've spoken to Lloyd about this. One thing that I like, and I don't think there's another magic shop that does this, is you make a really big thing of a launch. You know, when you've got a new trick coming out, you've got the live launch. It's all live on YouTube. You've got the creator there. It's live on Facebook. Debuting the trailer. And as a creator, I really love that. It kind of feels like it's a big deal, as opposed to, right, okay, this is another one that's just gone and hit the shelves. You know, it feels like it's a moment. I love that. I really do.
Well, I've always thought that when a trick comes out, and I always say this to the creators, it's more, the trick has to be good, and we want to promote the trick, but we always want to promote the creator. You know, I don't want to put the creator's name really small on the packaging or try and exclude it. To me, it makes us proud to promote the creator and to have his face on as many things. Now, I'll be honest with you, some people aren't performers and they do say this, oh, I'd rather not be on the instructions, or I'd rather not be on the trailer. And that's fine. We'll take care of it, whether I do it, Harry does it, or we'll employ someone to perform it. You've done a few for us. But as a rule, we really like to get the creator involved because we want people to know who this genius is who's just come up with this idea.
And the
live launches for us are like a film premiere. You know, they're great. And we like having the creator on there. And it's a moment for them. I've always seen, even with my own stuff that I've released, I see it as part of sort of my legacy, the same way any creator will see it as part of theirs. And obviously, every creator's proud of what they created. And that really comes across on the live launches. You know, it really comes across.
It really, really does. I wish more people would do it, to be honest. I really do. But I'm not going to talk about Alakazam the whole time, but I will say the amount of stuff that you've got coming out is insane. Like I was there filming last month, and just looking at that whiteboard of things that you've got coming out, things that you've got in the pipeline, things that you've got to work on, I'm like, you could bring a trick out every single week for the next 5 years, and you've still got some left. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the
thing is, we are going to start upping the amount of releases we release in a month. So we're still going to have the monthly live launch, but we're going to have a few launches happening throughout the week. Now, some products we release, saying don't warrant a live launch is not derogatory. I'm not saying they're not good enough, but on a live launch, we talk for an hour, we answer loads of questions, and there's some tricks that are quick little packet tricks that you don't need to speak for an hour on them. People,
Elf was the perfect example. Elf didn't get a live launch. We did it on a Tuesday, like on just one of the Alakazam lives.
Yeah, and that's it. It's a trick that, you know, you see it, the questions are answered for you straight away. You watch it, the questions are there. People know what it is. It's a packet trick. They understand there's going to be probably a count or something else. So you don't have to do a live launch for it. The live launches we usually set for bigger projects that there's a lot for us to explain and tell them what they're actually getting with this thing, this beautifully handcrafted gimmick and 50 routines and this, that, and the other. So they're sort of going to be set aside for those larger ones. And then we're going to have launches throughout the months, but they're not going to be huge live launches. They might be launched on the Tuesday lives. But the other thing that we've got as well is, obviously, for anyone that doesn't know, we've got the Alakazam app. Now, we have the ability to go live in that app. So what happens is every Thursday, Harry has a live show. And if you've got the Alakazam app, it notifies you he's going live. And it's a real fun show. He films it in the shop. And it's really, he tells you about the products that are coming in, the products that just arrived. He demonstrates a few things. And we're going to be doing some of the live launches on there. Now, the other benefit of the app is when we have an item that comes in, let's say we can only get hold of 24, or it's an item that's really popular and we've just managed to get another 10 in, that will go live on the app before it goes live on the website. So people that have the app usually have a 24-hour window before anyone else to grab one. So if it's a limited amount, the people on the app get about a day.
I did that the other day. I saw I had a notification on my app that Spectrum had just been released and it was app exclusive. I was like, man, right, I'm going on there, I'm ordering a Spectrum. Of course, I've been wanting to get that for a while. So yeah, that's, I see it works.
Yeah, it's great. So there's a lot of stuff happening. I think we're going to be up in the amount of products we've got coming out, because Harry as well, and I'm very conscious, I don't want to talk about Alakazam all the time, but Harry's been looking at our back catalogue, and there's a lot of effects in there that Harry has never seen. And I'm just getting these calls, or, you know, when I'm in the shop, he's going, why is this not still on the market? And one of them was Spectrum. So that's the first one of Harry's sort of re-looking at the back catalogue. Harry's starting to put a list together. Okay, this needs to come out. So over the years, you're going to see obviously a lot of new product coming out, but two or three older products. And I say older, so a lot of guys that are maybe listening to this, they might have only been in Magic 8 years, 10 years. This stuff's going to be brand new to them.
Mm, that's the thing. It's what's old is new. You know, there's Spectrum's a perfect example. Yeah. 10 years ago, everyone had it. Now, no one knows what it is. And it's just as good now as it was 10 years ago. You know what, Pete? That's the thing. And I know you and I have spoken about this off air a few times. I remember back in the day when you used to have like three tricks a year. Like, yeah. I remember, you know, it would be right, Stranger's Gallery by John Barron's come out. And that's the only trick. That's it. And that's the new trick that dealers stocked for about a month. And then there'd be another trick that comes out. Now, man, there's so much that comes out. It makes my head hurt. Yeah. Like, me and Rye are reviewing like four or five items a week, and I still can't keep up with most of the stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
Just it's insane.
There's so much stuff. There is so much stuff. And this is another thing as well. There's plenty of places that people can choose to buy their Magic. The one thing I will say about Alexam is we are on the phones. We've got live chat. We've got email, but you can ring us. If there's I had a customer ring up the other day. I'm not going to tell you what the product is. It's not an Alexam branded product, but he said, I'm after this product. I just want to know if I can do it in a close-up situation. Because on the video, it says you can. And I said to him, look, I said, I'll be honest with you. I got offered this effect months ago. And when the video come through, I wasn't too fooled by it. And I said to him, the honest truth is I haven't watched the instructions. I presume I know what's going on. I haven't watched the instructions. So I'll tell you what to do. Ring me in an hour. I'll watch the instructions.
Wow.
So I put the instructions on. I scooted through to the point where it was explained. And then he run back and I said, look, if you want my opinion, I don't think I would be comfortable doing it close up. I think it would be a bit obvious. But that choice is yours. If you like the idea, I didn't tell him how it worked because that's not my job. I can't expose it. But I did give him my opinion, and that's what the boys do as well. That's what Harry does. That's what Andy does. And sometimes it's very hard as a purchaser. It's easier now because we got videos. In the old days when we used to sort of just look in a catalogue, everything sounded wonderful. Now at least you can watch the trailer and get a good idea of what's going on and whether it will suit you. But if you're ever unsure, we're there at the end of the phone and we will give you an honest opinion.
Yeah. But
it is just our opinion. I may not like the effect, but you might buy it and go, I don't know what Peter's talking about. I think it's the best thing I've ever seen. I can only give you my opinion on it. But you will get my true opinion, whether I think it's good and worth your money or whether I don't. Now, whether that matches your opinion is a different kettle of fish.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about you guys. You're very, 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 very honest. Here's a question. Deviating away from Alakazam, but I want to know what you think about this, because as a dealer, you're probably going to have a very unique perspective. Are conventions dying out? Like, because the big thing about conventions are dealers and lectures, and people sessioning, but you know, that can happen anytime. It's mainly dealers and it's lecturers. And one thing, a lot of dealers that I speak to, a lot of their income is coming from online now, not necessarily people coming into a shop. Is it ever going to get to a point where a dealer kind of goes, you know what, it's not actually worth our while going to a convention? Of course, if we stayed at home, we'd probably make as much money as we would, but we don't have to cart all the stuff across there. Or is it always going to be there to like raise a profile? Like, if the dealers stop going, punters are going to stop going. I don't think lectures are going to be a big enough pull. What do you think? I mean, Blackpool's in its own thing, isn't it? Because it's so massive. But a lot of other conventions.
That's a really good question, because I've been speaking about this for a while. From a dealer's point of view, I would say there's certainly the money draw to a convention, i.e. in the good old days, you would go to a convention, you would sell out of stuff, and it would be great. And that was because that's where people bought magic.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have the online. Now it's so easy to just go, even if they're walking around the dealer's hall and they see a trick they like, they then got to make the decision, do I want to carry it around all day, or should I just order it off the site? It'll be with me by the time I get home on Monday. So, you know, it's very easy to order online. I think Alakazam's attitude to conventions now is profile. It's advertising. And a lot of people say, but, you know, a big company doesn't need to advertise. But McDonald's still advertise.
Mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola still advertises. And for us to be at these conventions, for one, we get to meet all our customers, which is always great. But for two, people, not everyone, it doesn't matter how big we think we are or other companies think they are. You're not as big as you think. Not everyone's heard of you. I remember going into shops in America years ago, but we still had, you know, a big back catalogue that was distributed by the world's biggest distributor and everything else. Went into a magic shop, not one Alakazam product in there. And I said, like, I'm Pete Anardi from Alakazam. All right, what's Alakazam do? And at the time, I couldn't believe it. My mind's going, how do you not know? But people, not everyone does know. We might sit there and think everyone knows who we are, but no, they don't. So going to conventions really, really helps with that. The one thing I will say is certain conventions are still charging dealers a lot for dealers' booths. Now, the problem is, it's different when you're talking about Blackpool that's attracting in 3,500 magicians and everything else. You go, okay, that's an expense that will be covered. But there are smaller conventions, some smaller conventions. And I know in the way it works is, obviously, dealers are sort of easy money for a convention. You book 20 dealers in, they're all paying you X amount, and that's a nice pot, which is great. The problem is, you've now got, as a dealer, you've got to make that judgment about, am I gonna be able to advertise at this convention? I.e., are these people all my customers anyway? So if it's a local convention, you go, they're all my customers. Do I spend all this money plus a day away, plus fuel, travel, hotel, everything else? It's not cheap to attend a convention. So it's a really interesting question. My feelings are that at some point, smaller conventions will either have to give dealers tables free of charge or pay dealers to attend. That's where I think it's going to end up. Because
me and Lloyd are planning a convention for next year, the Magic Podcast Live.
Yeah.
We wanted to do it this year, but it's too much planning. But we're going to do the Magic Podcast Live. And we've already kind of made the decision. We're just going to tell dealers they can come along for free.
Mm. And I think, because, you know, dealers are a draw.
Yeah.
And whether they're still as much as a draw now as they used to be, because all our wares are online. But like we said, going back to the old days, they were a draw because you wouldn't get to see these dealers. But because of the amount of online content me and Harry put out, people are mostly sick of our faces anyway. So they mostly don't travel to see us. But when you have, when you have conventions and you've got people like Mark Mason there that doesn't live in the UK anymore, or, you know, good friend of mine, I can't even remember his name. I'll think of it in a bit. But when you have like the foreign dealers coming over that you don't see, and Astor, you know.
Oh, Astor, he's great.
Always has amazing stuff. Whenever I go to a convention, he's the first stand I run over to. You know, Astor's great. And it's lovely to see those people. So I still think they are a bit of a draw. But I think you're doing the right thing by sort of inviting people along, or even if you charge them a nominal fee, you know, to cover the extra room that they're in or something, so you're not out of pocket. But I know that some of the smaller conventions, not all of them, but some of them have tried to price it so high that now you have to, as a dealer, you have to make a conscious decision.
Yeah.
Is this going to be worth my while? And that's the thing. You know,
people do forget sometimes that being a dealer, it's a business at the end of the day. You know, you're not doing that for the love of it. You're not, if you were there as a punter and you were just watching lectures and something, that's a different thing. But you're there, you're taking your stuff, you need to. You know.
We don't get the benefits of the punter. No. We don't get the benefits of going to watch the lectures usually, or, you know. And the other thing is, as well, is the amount of dealers that some smaller conventions, they might have 60 people attending and invite 25 dealers.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it just doesn't work out. So to answer your question, I think a lot of dealers, we're trying to do more of the smaller conventions now. I love the feeling of a small convention, a little club convention. And to be fair, like I said to you, for us, it's not financially motivated. There's two factors to it. One of them is, if it's in a place that me and Jenny want to go, we go, do you know what? We'll go there. We'll have a nice weekend of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll go and meet the magicians and chat and have some fun on that day. So we're looking at it from a completely different angle now. And it's more of a publicity and a weekend away, really. But yeah, it's a really interesting question. I think there is going to be changes towards conventions and dealers, because a lot of dealers won't be able to afford, but it just will not make financial sense to attend.
I agree. Which convention are you doing this year? You're doing the Magic Circle again?
I'm doing the Magic Circle again. I'm doing, well, Blackpool we did. The only problem is with the smaller conventions is they tend to do them sort of biannually. So last year we done a few of the smaller conventions and we loved it. Really,
I remember bumping into you. I was lecturing at Wessex, if you remember, and I jumped on your stand and the Quantum Deck had just come out and you were the only people with Quantum Decks, and I was demoing Quantum Deck on the stand.
Yeah, and you were doing Stebbins, because I think Stebbins hadn't been
out. I was doing Stebbins.
But yeah, the Wessex Day, I've been doing the Wessex Day, and that's a relatively small convention, but I love the people at the Wessex Day. They're good friends of mine, and it's a brilliant day. We done one with Od Simmons in his...
Essex, sort of Exeter sort of way.
Once again, small little convention, but what a wonderful time me and Jenny had there. You know, just lovely people, lovely members. And it was great. And we're doing them now more for the enjoyment.
That's great.
Of that, you know, it's so for us, it's changed. And I love the smaller conventions, you know, so it's really good. And hopefully we'll be at Magic Live as well. So that will be great.
And are you at London again, Nyman's?
I'm not sure if we're doing London this year, because I think the dates clash with something something family stuff we're doing. But once again, it's a great convention, London convention. Andy and Preston have put on a great day.
They're doing a great job. Outside of conventions, let's talk about something else. We didn't do one of these last week, so we and Lloyd haven't talked about this. You and I can talk about it. Let's talk about the final of Britain's Got Talent. Let's talk about Killian O'Connor. Let's talk about the semi-final. Let's talk about the final. How much of a dynamo is Killian, man?
He was fantastic. Now, I met Killian at Blackpool in Russ's bar in the House of Secrets. I think you were there, didn't you?
Yeah. I introduced you.
Yeah.
I've known Killian and his family for years, and I introduced you to him, if you remember.
Yeah, and he came over and he sat with us, and he just blew our mind with
him and Ryland are really good friends, and watching the two of them together session, they do stuff. It's just like, I can't believe there's these two kids that Killian's like 14, Ryland's like 10, but Ryland's a tall, big kid. They kind of look like the same age when they're together, and just watching the two of them just sitting at a table sessioning, it's insane. They are
honestly, the stuff he was showing me, I was speaking to, we have this lovely old couple that pop into the shop every once in a while. They're not from down this way. They belong to David Penn's Magic Club.
Okay.
Lovely old couple. And they pop in every couple of months because they've got family down in Kent. And I remember speaking to them and they were talking about, you know, the kids on BGT and everything. And I made the comment, I said, oh, you know, and if you go to the YMC, you've got to see them. They're so good for their age. And then I stopped and I went, let me correct that. They're so good for any age. And that's the thing. And when you think of, and I was speaking to someone else about this yesterday as well. When you think of, oh, I think we spoke about it on the live, on our live show yesterday. If I think on the level of Ryland and Killian and the kids at the YMC, it's, to me, it's quite unbelievable, because when I was that age, I can't do what half of these kids do now at my age. I can't do what Ryland does with a Rubik's Cube or Killian does with a deck of cards. I mean, you know, but the information they've got access to now, it's incredible. They're so advanced.
They really are. Yeah.
They're just so advanced. But the final of BGT and the semi-final, I don't watch a lot of BGT. I make a point of watching the magicians or things that people go, oh, you got to watch this guy, this singer, this girl. You know, when people point them out, I tend to watch them. Killian's semi-final, I thought, was perfect. Perfectly structured, perfectly timed. He's full of confidence.
It was incredible. I love the fact that he did a classic with the Silk to Apple that hasn't been seen in years. Yep. He did it beautifully. The end sequence with the silk around the theater and then the confetti vanish, that had Russ Stevens all over it. I mean, that was just, not taking anything away from Killian because he's amazing, but I think sometimes Russ is a bit of the unsung hero in these situations. Yeah. Like, yeah. With Ryland, how he's able to get out of the kids what he gets out of them. Yeah. And that's the best vanish I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. That's
real magic. If you could actually vanish, that is how you do it. You wouldn't get in a box.
Yeah.
You'd stand there, you'd snap your fingers, and you'd burst into a bunch of confetti. That's real magic right there.
Now, Russ did explain to me how that's done. He explained to me like a few months ago that he had planned this thing and everything else. For the life of me, I can't remember. But he did explain it to me. And it's very clever. It's very, very clever, and it's got Russ all over it, you know. But I thought Killian done fantastic. After the semi-final, I was going to go and put a bet on him winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have won. I mean, nobody saw Vigo coming. Nobody saw that guy coming from anywhere.
Do you know what? The first time I saw, what was it?
Vigo.
The first time I saw Vigo was the semi-finals, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it. I didn't get it. I didn't like it. But that was most probably the judges' fault, because you know he was doing the looping thing when they were saying their name, but they kept saying it wrong, and so it felt very disjointed. And when he got through and he won the semi-final, did he?
Oh, yeah. And if you look at the voting figures, it's not even close. Like, you look at the semi-final voting figures, I think 47% of the audience voted for him. It was like a landslide.
Yeah. So I presume they were voting for him because of his audition as well. So he had already...
And also the fact that, I don't know if you know this, but all through the semi-finals, every single semi-final, he was going over to the Hammersmith Apollo. And while people were queuing up outside the Hammersmith Apollo, he was just running around, just entertaining them outside.
That's a true entertainer.
Yeah, he is like a clown by profession. And, you know, I saw a lot of magicians slagging him off and going, oh, it's disgusting, he won. I had Killian down as the winner, but you can't take away the fact that he went on that show and the amount of the British public voted for him. Yeah. Like the finals.
Well, I enjoyed the final. I enjoyed his final act. So the semi-final, I didn't get it. And that was the first experience I had of him. And I just went, what is this guy doing on here? When I watched the final, I went, oh, okay. Yeah, I can see it. Because he didn't rely on anyone else. He'd done what he did. The problem was, you know, for me in the semi-final, he tried something out with the judges and it didn't work. And it wasn't his fault because they just didn't know what to do. And it just felt like a bit of a mess. Whereas the final, he had this nicely honed act. There's no doubt in my mind that as a visual clown, he's just exceptional. You know, I mean, and he gets the crowd going.
He does. He really gets them going and then some, which is half the battle. Half the battle. People just wanted to have fun. And Killian's final act was very, very good. I don't think it was as good as his semi. But let's be crystal clear here. He had 2 days to put that together. I know, and you know, because obviously with 4MG and me with Ryland didn't get through to the final, but we didn't even consider the final. We were just like, because we were just like, look, the focus has to be on the semi-final because that's what's going to happen first. So I think that Killian was probably in the same situation. I think he was like, look, I need to be rehearsing the semi-final. He had 48 hours to put that final piece together.
Yeah. And people don't realize, because if you look at 4MG, 4MG were on the last show. Then their semi-final was the Tuesday after. So we had been rehearsing the semis. And then the Sunday after the Tuesday was the final. So they were literally everything, their BGT experience was 1 week. That's it. TB, semis, thingy, all in 1 week. And luckily, I had already written the semi-final and the final act. But on the Saturday before the final act, and I've said this before, the Saturday before the final act, the big illusion that we were promised would be there wasn't there. So that whole routine for the final made no sense at all. And then during rehearsals, the boys got told that two of the four tricks they were performing, they couldn't perform on there. So they had to literally go in their close-up case and get the stuff out. And that's why their final was what it was. It was literally grab stuff out of your close-up bag and do the best you can do, which is not what we had planned. But there's a lot of pressures that people don't see when you're watching it outside. And the fact is, you're absolutely right. All you're thinking about when the semi-final is coming up, all you're thinking about is that semi-final. It's live. You've got to hit the nail on the head. You've got to do it. You've got to get it 100%. And then once that's done, you start thinking about the final. And I think Killian was quite late in the week as well, wasn't he?
He was on the Friday and the final was on the Sunday. He was the last semi-final. He had 48 hours, less than that. He had the Saturday and he had the Sunday. And in that time, he also had to film his VT for the final. He had to do all of the interviews that he was doing.
And that's the other thing people don't realise is you are dragged from pillar to post to do interviews for this, little bits for their Insta, little bits for their Facebook, little bits for this. You are pulled about. So they usually give you, I'm sure it was the same with Ryland, you get like a rehearsal room that you can rehearse in, but you only most probably get two short rehearsals on stage, maybe?
One Ryland had.
One. So, yeah, I couldn't remember if it was one or two, but you're literally on and off. And your rehearsal on stage is not really for you. It's for the camera guys and set guys. So it's really a rehearsal for them to know what they're doing. So, but you get a rehearsal room that you can just rehearse your acting, but you don't get a lot of time to actually do it. I thought he did very well. And there was that little mistake in there
with the thumb test.
No layperson would have noticed.
Nope.
And even a magician that weren't looking wouldn't notice, because he gave no clue that something had happened.
He just carried on. He's a pro. 100%.
But it was great. I thought he was going to get placed. I would have put him down as getting placed. But you never know. That's the problem.
His future is very bright.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's a talented kid. And, you know, I don't say kid in a derogatory term, and I'm not talking about talented for his age. I'm talking about talented for any age of magician.
Well, you know what? I remember a couple of years ago, or just before COVID, Jabrizi turning around and doing a video online saying, magic is dead. There's no such thing as magic anymore. Magic's dead. Well, you know, go watch Killian perform and tell me magic's dead. Go watch Ryan perform and tell me magic's dead. Go watch Magic Maisie perform and tell me magic's dead. Go watch Rafferty or Ollie or one of these guys from the the Young Magic Circle and tell me that magic's dead. Magic is scary in terms of the talent that the kids have these days compared to where it was 10, 15 years ago.
It's just 100%. I mean, it's, as I say, magic's in good hands. I mean, the kids that are coming through now are absolutely exceptional, not only with their sleight of hand, but with their presentation. I mean, you just take Rylan, for instance. I mean, he is working more professional gigs than a lot of professional magicians. I know.
Three or four gigs a week.
And you know that his career, if this is what he chooses to do, the doors are wide open to him. By the time he leaves school, he would have done more kid shows, more close-up shows, more stage shows than most pros are doing.
I posted he posted it, but I shared it, of him doing sponge balls at an event over the weekend. And the amount of messages I've had going, gee, that's the best sponge ball routine I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's great. And the kids like that in general. I mean, I go down, we sponsor one of the awards at the Young Magicians Club for their J-Day. So whenever I can, we usually have a little stand there. And for me, it's great just to meet the kids, and sometimes I'm asked to judge one of the competitions, but I literally sit there in awe of their talent. I really honestly do. Awe and envy. So both of them in equal measures, because they're great. They're honestly, magic's in good hands.
Talking about Got Talent very quickly before we move on to new products.
Yes.
Have you watched the first couple of episodes of America's Got Talent? Did you see Trigg Watson?
No.
Dear Lord.
I'm going to after this. I've seen a couple of posts that say Trigg Watson. I haven't heard of Trigg Watson. Is he a name I should
have? He lives in Las Vegas. He's a kind of a fairly big deal over there. But he's he did, you know, he had a screen set up looking like an iPhone on camera on stage. Yeah. And he was doing the sort of thing that you see the French twins do, where things are coming out of it. But it was coming out the screen. So, for example, like it was like orange juice, where a carton of orange juice would appear just floating in midair, and then he'd reach up and grab it, and it becomes real. And then he'd tip the orange juice out, and you see it swirling around the air like that. And as it goes into the top of the thing, the orange juice pours into the video that's playing underneath. And I was spellbound. I messaged Trigg the second I saw it, And I was like, this is the best Got Talent act I've ever seen. Because it's got everything. It involved the judges because he was flicking through Instagram and the judges were there doing their thing, which got a laugh. You need to do that in a Got Talent. But it was also something very, very different. It was upbeat. It was quick. It was visual. It was the perfect. I actually said on my channel, I said, we might be looking at the winner of America's Got Talent right there.
I'll watch that straight after this because I've seen these a few times.
And then the other person you need to watch on episode two was Mandy Munden.
I saw Mandy's because someone, I think she posted that or someone posted up her video. She's always funny, Mandy.
She was doing Cody's comedy book test and me and Sarah were watching this and she said, she's doing the trick you do. I was like, yeah, she is. And then Sarah just looked at me and went, she does it way better than you do. I'm like, yeah, she does.
Actually, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that was edited? Because I thought she was going to do the eat gag.
Yeah, but she instead used a different revelation of the eat.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it was edited because I think she went in a different direction because at the beginning she had the clear force bag and she got each judge to take out a letter. And then she did the revelation of all of the different stuff. And then for the final, she said, what was the word you were thinking of? Eat. And then she said, judges, open up the pieces of paper and show them. E-A-T. So I think it was a different revelation. And I think because Aidan McCann had done that bit, the Wayne Dobson.
Right. Okay.
A couple of years before. So I think, I don't know if that was the reason I haven't asked her, but I actually thought that for the Got Talent and for her, I thought that was a better revelation.
It looked really good. I was just sort of, when I watched it, I thought, have they just cut that chunk out? Because obviously knowing Dobson's version, that's how it plays. So I just wondered whether they had cut a chunk out because it made sense. It weren't as if it felt disjointed. It didn't at all. I was just wondering whether, you know, they did, but you're right. Maybe they just skipped that and went straight to another revelation, especially if it's been done before.
Not on America's Got Talent, but Aidan did it in the finals of Britain's Got Talent just a couple of years ago. So I don't know.
Yeah.
She's so funny. It's the thing that makes her is just her. She's got funny bones. She's just naturally funny. She's just hilarious.
She's great. She's really, really good. But yeah, I haven't watched any AGT, but I'm going to certainly watch Trig after this. But BGT, I thought it was a hard year for magicians this year as well.
Yeah, some people were moaning about how Tom Crosby was. I do get that. I think that it could have been edited in a kinder way. But I mean, you and I both know how much that show has done for magic since Russ Stevens got involved in it. The amount of stuff that happens behind the scenes to make sure that magicians are treated fairly.
Yeah. Yeah. And respectfully, you know, and you are going to get it. And the thing is with BGT, we can't forget it is a TV show. They want to show variety, and it was getting to the point where it did start to feel like, not that I'm saying it's a bad thing, it's great for us, but it started to feel like Magic's Got Talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely dialed back on the magic this year, but the acts that they did showcase are really good. I know that there's that guy that went on that sings and does magic.
Lewis.
Fox. I know that, Alakazam was sharing his stuff, so I'm guessing, and he's from Kent, so I'm guessing you know him. I thought he was very good.
Lewis is great. He's a great worker. He's been coming into the shop since he was 8 years old.
Wow.
He's a lovely kid. He's the one that, I told you about Harry's nightmare first gig.
Yes.
Well, that was with Lewis. So Lewis was the one that, at the time, like every magician, you never feel you're ready to go out and perform. And Lewis was the one that was pushing Harry. And he said to him, look, I've got this gig coming up. It's, 3 miles down the road. Come with me after your first table. If you don't want to do it, don't worry, I'll take over. So he really helped Harry sort of get out there and start performing. So he's a good friend. He done very, very well. Once again, that I was really surprised at the responses he got. Well, like, you know, he had two people that were really in favor of what he's doing, two people that maybe not so much. But I would have thought, I don't disagree with that. They can say what they want. I would have thought it would have been the other way around. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know how they can say that it wasn't you know, it was so different to anything I've seen. Just the whole thing and the way it was structured, it was great.
Yeah, but I've got a lot of respect for anyone that gets on that stage and because
most of the people that are moaning, they never would go on there in a million years.
Yeah. To go in front of anyone knowing you're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Is a very brave thing to do.
And I remember being in the wings just before Ryland was going to go on for the semi-final. And I felt like the worst parent in the world. I'm like, I'm just about to push my son out in front of thousands of people on live television to be judged.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing I've ever done as a parent. And then it's such a mix of emotions, because then when he came off stage and he smashed it, I'm like, no, I'm the best parent ever. You know?
I know. I mean, Harry was 18 and I felt like that. So God knows what you felt like with Ryland, you know? I mean,
when he was 9.
And, you know, the boys were getting very emotional. You know, if they were up, they were really up. If they were down, they were really down. So to have to deal with that with a 10-year-old as well, it's hard. And you do, as a parent, you do blame yourself. If something was to go wrong.
Oh yeah, I'd be mortified.
Yeah, that's the thing. But thank God, the same as Ryland, it was the same with the boys. They just, so it seems like we were the ones that were stressing out. They're all having a whale of a time.
We're the ones
that's worried about everything. Harry and the boys loved the journey on BGT. Absolutely loved it. And who wouldn't, you know, treated like stars and everything else, you know?
Exactly.
It's us that were getting stressed about.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was stressful. And he keeps putting himself in stressful situations, and I get more and more stressed out about it, and he's just chilling out. Let's talk about new product. Let's talk about new product and stuff that's come out. There's a lot that's come out since we did this a couple of weeks ago. So, first of all, I know you did a deep dive on this with Chris Rawlins. He's just put a new trick out, hasn't he? Like some, I don't know what it is. It's some sort of card thing, but...
It's called Predictable. I'm sitting here with one in my hand. You can see it right there. Look, boom.
Okay. Is it any good? What is it? I don't even know what it is.
It's really good. So what it is, it's basically out of this world. Okay.
Right. But
each card has got a question or a statement on the card. So it's far more personal to your spectator. So they're drawing out the cards that they agree with.
Right.
And they're getting rid of the cards they don't agree with. So let me, I'm going to read you a couple of these. I've just picked myself up a sec. So I love the concept. I mean, we both know how strong an effect Out of This World is. I mean,
it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's a killer. And what Chris has done now is he's turned it into more of a mentalism effect. And I know people do perform it as some sort of pseudo, mentalism type psychology type routine. But what Chris has done is he's really made it personal. So you've got things like, do you enjoy surprises? Now they can either choose yes or no. This has to be their choice. It has to be personal to them. If anything is possible, is it possible for anything to be impossible? Now they have to decide, do they think that's a true statement or a bad? So these are all things that they feel personally. And obviously, when you turn over the piles, everyone they've chose, he's written on the back, yes.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and everyone that's in the discard pile will be no.
That's really clever.
It's, and there's more you can do with these. There is more you can do with these, but I think the premise for Out of This World, I think, is great. If you perform mentalism and you've never performed Out of This World, you don't know what's in store for you when you perform this. The reactions are going to be killer. If you do perform Out of This World, you'll instantly know what a great idea this is.
Wow, this world is amazing. And that's such a great idea. That's it's the sort of thing where you just think, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, other people have explored similar things like Sean Goodman with genetics. It's not questions, but once again, it's a personal choice that they're making rather than just red or black. Now, red or black, and I'm not devaluing Out of This World because it's a killer of an effect. But to add something a bit more to it, something they have to think about and make a conscious decision over. And if you like this sort of thing, also check out genetics, because there's a lot of comedy built into genetics. And genetics is something that's designed to be done to a couple. And that's really worth doing. But predictable, yes, 100%. It's a great release, great trick, well produced. And I think it will fit into any sort of close-up magician or mentalist's act. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Also, I think we should talk about John Allen finally, after a decade, re-releasing the Destiny box, which is my favorite trick of all time. I do that in every single stage show that I do. Single show. Yeah. I love the Destination box.
Well, I purchased mine maybe 18, 19 years ago off John Allen at an IBM convention. And I performed it when I was out close up. I performed it all the time, every table. I used to do it with a borrowed note. So I used to start the evening or start the table off with a bill switch, so something that everyone could see, but I would always change the note down. I would borrow a 20, change it into a 5, and then it would become a running gag through my set at that table every so often. I haven't forgot I owe you a tenner, you know, and it's so that would go on and go on and go on, and then right at the end, the final reveal would be inside the Destination box, would be there. To me, it was invaluable when I was performing. It's a beautiful looking prop. It's in their hands all the time. I always feel that if you're a magician and you turn up with a nice prop like that, it just feels a little bit special.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a perceived value, isn't it? You've turned up with this thing. It's mad. And I've always seen something to impossible location. I've always seen as real magic, what your punter will conceive to be real magic, that sort of something vanishing from here and appearing over there. So you think how impossible that is. You've borrowed £20. They've signed it. It's changed into a fiver. You've gone through your act. Someone's been holding the box since before you got the £20. Now, right at the end of your act, they open the padlock themselves. They can open the box themselves. You tip out what's inside. They then take the tin, open the tin, and take out the note, and it's their signed note. I mean, that's a miracle. That's TV magic in the real world.
It really is. And what I like about the Destination box is you can literally decide on the fly what you're going to load in there.
Yeah.
If you want to put a card in there, you can. If you want to put a ring in there, you can. If you want to put money in there, you can. You can literally change it in the middle of an act, depending on how you feel you want to go with it. It's so versatile.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a cheap prop, but it's never been a cheap prop. I think it's the same price now as when we bought it. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure. And it's the latest one looks great as well. It looks really, really good.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember reading that. I remember watching John do this. Do you remember his old VHS tape before he even released
it? Spectators don't exist.
Spectators don't exist. That was a great VHS tape. And he did that for the first time there. And I remember watching it and trying to make it up myself. And I went on and I was looking for little boxes and little snuff powder things. And I'm like, I need, and I couldn't make it up. I couldn't make it look good. And then when he released it, I was like, yeah, I'm having one of them straight away. And it stayed in my head. I got two of them. And I'll buy one of the new ones just because I never want to not have a destination box.
Yeah. And it's, do you know what? It's a beautifully made prop. I've had mine, like I said, 18 years or so. And it still looks as good now as it did. It still functions beautifully. It's a beautifully made prop. No corners have been cut.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that's really good. Now, talking about an Alakazam trick that's come out in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Ian Bailey, a key ring. Is it called key ring?
Key ring. Yeah.
I tell you what, Ian's making a name for himself, man. I mean, a couple of years ago, he was nowhere. Then he bought out the Jameson wallet with you guys. He bought out the
Measure for Measure.
Then he bought out Wonder Blocks with Penguin that they did really well with. Now he's back with key ring.
Yeah.
I got this. I haven't reviewed it yet. I'm going to be reviewing it very, very soon. I love it, but bloody hell, it's not the easiest routine in the world to do. I'm pretty good at sleight of hand, and I was just there, and Ryland came up to me. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm really trying to learn this, but I'm failing miserably at this. This is...
The thing with keyring, and you're right, you know, to do the full-blown routine is not the easiest thing. It is going to take practice. But the thing is with keyring, it's modular. And even Ian Bailey, if I've actually done a deep dive on this, which is going to be coming out on Sunday. And Ian, when he performs it, if he's asked to perform something, he'll do keyring, but he'll do the slow bend. That's all he'll do. So he'll take the key and he says it feels more effective to just do it and hand them the object that's in that impossible state or that weird state and then not change it back. Because with it changing back and this, that, and the other, there's sort of too much going on, even though it's a beautiful routine. Sometimes less is more, you know? So I think there are things in there that you can do with very small or minimal amounts of practice. But if you were to do the full routine, yeah, 100%. There are things that you're going to have to learn and get used to. But it is a wonderful trick. So good, in fact, that you've got Garrett Thomas and Greg Wilson both on the video where they both love it and both wanted to put their input in. You know, it's a great idea. Ian's a great creator. And all round nice guy.
He is. He's got a big future for himself. He seems to be one of these guys that every couple of months a new Ian Bailey trick comes out. It's like, okay, here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. And they're all real quality. And it's kind of interesting because some of them are like Measure to Measure. It's almost self-working and it's a stage routine. Then you've got something like this that is quite intricate sleight of hand. And it's just like he doesn't have one genre or one style. He just seems to be able to turn his hand to everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's lecturing at the moment, and his lecture boasts no card tricks.
Wow.
Even though that's a lie, because I think he has got one card trick in there. But most of the stuff that Ian creates, he's a big fan of this sort of EDC, normal-looking props. And he's a tradesman, so he's an electrician by day, magician by night, and that's why a lot of the stuff he comes out with is stuff that looks like, you know, a tape measure or a key, just stuff that's about. I remember he did bring out, and this was a self-release, he bought out a version of the Turbo Stick, but it was on a pencil. And it was one of these workers' pencils, so they were quite flat. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're quite...
Yes, I've seen those, yeah.
But it sort of had that laminate coating on the outside. So you could actually do the rub on and rub off sort of thing.
That's really good.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a clever guy. But keyring, yeah, it's a great trick. Great trick. And it's different. I know Greg Wilson, in the interview, he says he's got two key rings and he showed us. He said, I've got my working key ring and that's got Hyder Key on it by Chris Rawlings again. He said, but this is my everyday key ring and this has got key ring on it. He said, because this is the type of routine I will just do when I'm out and about, because it's that piece of weird that he just loves doing.
And yeah, it's great. And I love the fact that the keys look very similar to Keymaster, yeah. Which is just awesome. Yeah, I'm going to definitely do it. I'm a big key fan and it looks beautiful. It really does. Other than that, you know what? I mean, there's not that much new stuff that's come out. I think it's the calm before the storm when it comes to the big league.
Mention a couple, and I don't know if you
said. Yeah, I'd love you to. I was going to mention one more, but you go first.
No, go on.
Well, the only other one I was going to mention that I've seen that I quite like the look. I've not seen it, but I've seen the ad copy on Alakazam. It looks quite good. Magic Bands with a Z by Taiwan Ben, which are rubber bands, but in the shape of a playing card.
Oh, yeah. So I haven't played with those yet, but I presume it's going to be, you know, it's a reveal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the old star sign thing the
Stargazer.
Old
Stargazer.
So you get a set of 21 high quality bands, essential tools to perform an array of effects, online tutorial, and a rubber band merely assumes the shape of a card your spectator's thinking of without any physical contact.
Yeah. Anything like that. As sort of working magicians, you realize the power of a reveal. I think as a magician, sometimes you sort of look at stuff and go, oh, it's a bit easy. It's just a false card and you reveal it. To a lay person, it's magic.
Yeah, it really is
magic. You take an elastic band and it now forms the card they're thinking of. How crazy is that? Yeah, so I can't wait to get a set of these because since Hard Stretch come out, I started digging out bands and learning a few of the band routines again. And this will be one to add. It's a no-brainer to add, really.
I agree.
Absolute no-brainer. The two that I was going to mention, I know Ryland does one of them because he's put a video up, is Grandma's Miracle.
That's one of the best tricks of all time ever. Ryland saw that. We got it and he watched it and he's like, that's going to be in my close-up set forever. Like the reactions it's get. And I looked at it and I remember the original Dean Dill version or the version that Dean Dill had years ago. Yeah. And this is so much better. The ropes are better. The I love the fact that the beads are clear. It feels like you can see everything. It's very, very impossible. Really well made. Yeah. And yeah, I've watched Ryland do it at like two or three close-up gigs now. And it just freaks people out because that moment where they think they know, and then boom, it just comes up through the hand. Killer. Absolutely killer.
And the other thing I want to say about it, for one, it's really easy to do. Two, it's very deceptive. Even if you know the core method to the original, this one still throws you off a bit.
Hmm.
And the other thing, that, like you said, the props. The problem I always found with this type of effect is, one, you've got to set it up usually way before you perform it. And the setup, to be fair, wasn't, it was easy, but fiddly and time consuming. Whereas this one, you're doing it right in front of your spectator's face, which is fantastic. And the props look like the stuff that you would be proud to perform with. If you were doing a close-up set, a friend of mine, one of our customers, sent a picture. He actually put it on our Facebook, the Alakazam product discussion Facebook group. He said, I was in the chat.
I saw this. Yeah, a little box. Looks beautiful.
Doesn't it look great? And doesn't it look like the ropes and the balls are from the time of that box? It just looks perfect. Yeah, you imagine doing a little parlor show, bringing that box out and opening it up. People are going to be intrigued to what's inside it. And the routine is beautiful. It's one of Harry's favorite Dems in the shop at the moment. And it blows everyone away. It really does. And Harry did it on our socials. And when I watched him do it, it fooled me because I know how the original works. And I'm going, well, how's he done that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very clever.
So that's one of the ones I wanted to mention. The other one that I've been having a lot of fun with lately is The Bet by Christian Grace.
Okay. Yeah, The Bet. I've just done a Christian Grace review show special. Yes, The Bet. Okay, The Eights. Yes, that's very, very good. Very, very good. I remember thinking that I think the thing that makes that is the change, because they just don't see it coming. They see this thing, and it's kind of like a kicker, isn't it? You've got the correct card. You've got the Eight of Diamonds. And none of these cards were correct. And you haven't done a count. You haven't done any moves. You're just holding them here. And they look down, and all the other three are eights with no moves. It's almost like that M. Night Shyamalan type thing. It's like, you know, like that Sixth Sense. They think they know what's going on, and then you just completely pull the rug from underneath their feet.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that lovely moment that I call it the ricochet moment. You know, when you used to perform ricochet and you used to go, I'm holding the kings. What have you got? I've got the aces. Have a look. And then they look at them and they're kings. And when they look back to you, it's now changed back. And it's got that lovely moment where their whole attention is drawn to this card in front of them. They're not expecting it to be their card. Turn it over. It is their card. Blows their mind. And then they look over and all the other cards have changed as well. It's a perfectly structured routine. And I've been having a lot of fun when I'm in the shop demonstrating that to people. It's great, great routine. And once again, it's so simple to do. There are no slights. There are no counts.
Yeah, it's great.
Very, very easy. Very clever thinking by Christian.
Yeah, Christian's great. He's thought of card to box. He's got a lot of thought of cards out recently. Thought of card to box. Then he did the illusionist thing with the thought of
card to pocket. Yeah, yeah. And they're all of those tricks. I mean, I could have just sat here speaking about Christian Grace tricks because he's come out with a few recently, and they're all great. They're all great. I like the any thought of card to pocket. I think the method is, it's not a new method, but I think the method's clever, and I think the routine is clever. The any thought of card to box, once again, very, very strong. But my personal favorite, I think, is The Bet. Purely because of that change.
Yeah, the bet is great. The trick of the year this year is going to be by Christian Grace. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, and it's coming out
next month. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not allowed to speak about it. Nobody's allowed to speak about it. But those that know, know. And it's a game changer. It's a complete and total game changer.
It really is. Right. I'm going to have to leave you for 2 seconds. So you carry on talking.
I'll carry on. I'm going to...
My cat is very unaware that I'm recording a podcast and she wants a chew.
That's so absolutely fine, because this is the most unprofessional podcast in the history of magic. So it's fine. I'll just carry on talking crap until you get back, and then we can go into the final segment. So, Christian Grace is brilliant. There is one other thing, and I don't know much about it, but I said there's not. So we talked about Taiwan Ben with his bands that look like playing cards, which I think can be quite good. Haven't seen it. But he has got another thing out as well, Taiwan Ben, called Hallucination. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It looks very, very interesting. I haven't seen it. You introduce a prediction. A card is selected. It doesn't match the prediction. What can you do? You draw a shape on the back of an incorrect card, and then slowly and visually it morphs into the selection. It looks like a cartoon animation. No thread, no elastic, no chemicals, resets in sections. Practical and easy to do. It looks really good, and it's only £26. So that's kind of an interesting one. And also, if you like the Josh Zandman book tests, he's brought out the Star Wars book test recently based on Star Wars. He's brought out the Harry Potter book test recently. He's just brought out the Godfather book test based on the Godfather. It's very good. So it's the same thing, but built into a book all based around the Godfather. And then finally, I did a review show special on Deuce Gala a little while ago. If you don't know who Deuce Gala is, Deuce Gala is Michael O'Brien's company. He's the co-founder of Deuce Gala. And they brought out a couple of tricks that I did a review show on about 6 months ago. They weren't available from all magic shops. A couple of them have now been released through Murphy's, and they are now available through all magic shops. So if you want to check out Pokemonte, which is Michael O'Brien's version of Color Monte. There's a few differences. It uses Pokemon cards. You can get those now from everyone because it's coming out through Murphy's. And then finally, Penguin have just re-released the three Barry Richardson books, the trilogy of Barry Richardson books. They've been out of print for a long time. We now have Act Two by Barry Richardson, Curtain Call by Barry Richardson, Theatre of the Mind by Barry Richardson, three of the best mentalism books ever made. They're now back out. Peter Nard is back.
I am back.
And Barry Richardson, he's the man, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I had the books when they originally come out, and I think I lost one. I don't know where I lost it, so I'm going to buy the new set because they're all matching now, and it looks great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Great. They've done a really good job of that. Right, we've talked about new products. This is normally the bit where me and Lloyd do sorry, not sorry. But there's nothing I'm pissed off about. I'm pretty sure that you're the most chilled out person in the world, so there's probably nothing you're pissed off about.
No, just with my cat.
Just with your cat. So I've got an idea in the last couple of minutes. I thought we could talk about, as I've got you on the call, this is something that I get asked an awful lot on the channel. I know that we get asked this an awful lot in questions on the podcast. If as one of the top magic dealers in the whole of the world, somebody who's constantly bringing tricks out from creators, have you got any advice for new creators in terms of how to pitch a product to a dealer to get them to want to go, yes, I'm going to offer you a deal? When I went over to Penguin earlier this year, I went out for dinner to the Cheesecake Factory with Gally and Nick Lacoppo. And me and Gally and Nick talked about this, and Nick said, you wouldn't believe the amount of shocking video submissions that we get where we just bin them immediately. Like, we get so many submissions, and if it's not done right, it's just never going to see the right people. I found that really interesting because I'm in a quite fortunate position where I know you personally. So yeah. If I have an idea, I can ring you up and say, hey, can I jump on Zoom for 5 minutes? I want to show you something. Same with Penguins, same with Murphy's, you know. But for people that haven't got that relationship, that are desperate to get their first trick out and they want to get on the radar of a magic company, they want their trick to come out through Alakazam. What advice would you give somebody when they're submitting that trick?
Do you know what? I would most probably, for me personally, I'd most probably go the exact opposite of Nick, what Nick said, which surprises me, because I would always say to anyone, if you can film the effect, what I'm interested in first off is the effect. Mm-hmm. That's it. But it's going to be, the video you send is for my eyes only, or the Alakazam team's eyes only. So it doesn't have to be a beautifully shot, you know, video with loads of screaming audience members. I just want to see what the effect is. Now, if I like the effect, even if I feel it needs work, two things can happen. Either I will say, look, you know, love the idea, keep working on it. Or alternatively, I love the idea and I think I can improve it, or change it, or do this, or have you tried this, or have you tried that? And then we will. So as long as I can see it and we like the effect, then communications will start. That's all I need to know is, firstly, do we like the effect? And if we see, and the effect doesn't have to be 100% there. Let's take, for example, The Collector by Nicholas Mavresis.
Okay. One of the tricks of the year, as far as I'm concerned, from a few years ago.
Which was great, right? But I bought the rights to that trick maybe 3 years before The Collector came out. And when I bought the rights to the effect, it was a completely different effect to what it is now. The premise was similar, but to get the name at the end, you would remove these cards from an envelope, then you would deal them into two piles, then you would put the piles together, then you would displace four cards from the top to the bottom, then you would do this. There was this really long sequence that had no place in the routine. And I said to Nicholas at the time, I said, I love the premise. I love the idea. I love the idea of a serial killer. I love the idea of the name being the reveal at the end. And I'm going to buy the rights, but it's not ready yet. So I paid him for the rights and he worked on that for, I would say, over a year before he came to me with the finished version and said, look, this is what I've come up with. And as soon as I saw it, I went, that's perfect. That is 100% perfect. Now, the method to the collector as is now is completely different to the method of the collector that I purchased. So all we need to see is a spark, something that's going to make us go, what a clever idea. Doesn't have to be the method, just what a clever idea for the routine. The routine that we've got coming out at the end of this month, great routine by Paul Fowler.
This is a good one. Yeah, this is great.
This is really good. When he sent this in...
You just showed me the trailer the other day. The trailer's great.
Yeah, it's really good. That's Jamie Dawes. Me and Jamie went out and filmed that, and Jamie done the editing, and it was, yeah, really good. He's done a great job on it. But the routine, the selection procedure, that's all I'm going to say, was different when Paul showed it to us. And it worked perfectly. But just by looking at it, we knew we wanted the effect. But I knew in my head, I didn't want this. I don't want to say what the effect is, but it will be clear on launch night or whatever. But we didn't want this aspect of it, because then we're going, okay, you've got to bring this other item in now just for this effect and everything else. So I bought the rights off him, and then I said to him, look, I've got another idea for this. And he went, what's that? So I explained it to him, and he went, yeah, that's great. So straight away now, just by adding our bit, you got rid of this extra thing you didn't need, and now it happens in the spectator's hands as well. So we love the idea of the routine. It weren't 100% what we wanted to release, but we knew the premise was exciting to us. So I would say film a video and make it short as well. If it's a 2-minute trick, don't send us a half hour video, because, you know, I'm not saying we're the busiest people in the world, but to sit there, and the problem is if it's a long video, we skip through it. And if you skip through it, it's not doing the effect.
No, it's not.
The justice. But like Nick says, to agree with what Nick says, we get a lot of submissions. So you want to keep it short and sweet, just the camera, it's for our eyes only. Just say, look, a card selected, bang, this is what's going to happen.
And how important is it, Pete, to have a physical product attached to the trick? Because from speaking to Penguin, and I know Illusionists are in this camp as well, and I'm pretty sure Murphy's are, downloads are dying out a little bit. And I know Penguin have turned around to me and said, look, we really want physical products. That's what we're looking for. We want a physical product attached to this particular product. Is that important? If someone's got like a trick and it's a download,
we're still selling downloads. I mean, I'll be honest with you, downloads have never been a huge market for us. I know for Penguin, it's been huge, and for other companies out there, it could have been huge. They've never been huge for us. We've always been more of a physical product type thing. But if someone comes up to us with a great idea for a download, sure, we'll put it up as a download. But a physical product trick is easier to sell, because you can't take a download to a convention. You can't sell a download when they come in the shop. You know, or well, you could, but you know what I mean. People want that They want that toy to play with. They want that gimmick. They want that prop. And I think as magicians, we always get excited by that box turning up and having a look at what we got and learning how to use it and everything else. So, yeah, physical products are always good, whether it's a gaff card or a gaff deck or, you know, key ring or hard stretch or, you know, the coin tricks that we brought out with you, which are really popular for us. I think the market's moving. The market does shift. It shifts every couple of years, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The DVDs were really big, multi-trick DVDs. Then no one wanted multi-tricks. They wanted single tricks. Now people are shying away from single tricks and they want physical products. And it always shifts about. But I think everything's got its place. And I would not turn down a good trick if it had to be a download. If it has to be, it has to be.
Okay, that's really cool. And one other question. And this happens with every company, and I've never really asked the question to anybody. How, at what point is the decision made? Like, what I'm trying to say here is I've seen certain tricks come out through Alakazam where it's obvious the creator is there front and center on the box, but it's not performed by the creator or explained by the creator. It's somebody in Alakazam that has done that on behalf of the creator. Same with Penguin. There's a lot of tricks that come out where it's Nick or Eric that are like doing the tutorial or the performance. Same with Murphy's, you know, the amount of times I've seen something come out and it's Javier that's doing the... So how, what if someone's got a trick, how is that decision made? What makes a trick being performed by somebody that's not the creator? Is it a decision that the creator's made? Yeah. Or is it a decision that, like, I'm, you know...
We would always, as I say to the creator, this is their creation, you know, and they should be proud of it, and they are proud of it. And if we can get the creator on the product, then that's what we want to do. And you'll know that it's very rare that I put my name, a lot of stuff that comes out with Alakazam has got a portion of Alakazam's fault, method, whatever, put into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We always put the creator's name on it. So I'm not going to turn around to a creator and go, do you know what, that trick you sent us was great. I've changed it a bit, so it's sort of mine now. We would never do that. But for me, it's all about the creator. And I personally want the creator on it as often as I possibly can, because to me, they deserve to be on the product. And a lot of creators release stuff to get their name out there. It's not so much for the money that they're going to make from the trick. It's to get their name out there. And to get your name out there, you need to have your face out there.
Yeah.
So usually if it's a very rare situation where there would come a point where if I was ringing you and I went, Craig, look, you know, your trick's here, it's packaged, it's been sitting here for 8 months, we need to get it out. And you said, you know what, Peter, I can't get you for the next year, I'm busy. Then I'd have to sort of go, well, look, I'm going to have to film it. It has to come out. You know, there is a point where if things can't work or if someone's in a different country, but even now with technology the way it is, if Nicholas Mavresis, if we're bringing out a Nicholas trick, now Nicholas is usually the type of guy that says, I don't want to be on the trailer. Even though Nicholas is a performer, he doesn't like being on the trailer usually. So we will do it for him. But I always say to him, can you do us a favor? Can you just film an introduction to the project? And I'll include that at the beginning, because I'd like people to see who's created it. And I think it deserves that.
And with advancements now, you can submit a trick to somebody from anywhere in the world and it makes no problems because you can film it from anywhere in the world. Like, for example, Chris James, I know who's a rising star in the community. Oh,
100%. He's a clever cookie, isn't he?
He's a sausage. He really is. Like, some of the stuff he's done with Apparition, he's fooled me with Apparition. Like, he bought Apparition and then he showed me stuff and I didn't know how it worked. I'm like, how'd you do that? It's my trick. Don't know.
Yeah, he's so clever. So clever.
He's got a trick coming out with Alakazam soon.
Yep.
And he's based in Los Angeles. He's 8 hours away from you guys, but it doesn't stop him from being able to do anything because of the way that everything's set up these days.
Yeah, we're going to film it sort of remotely. So he's going to be on the product. To answer your question briefly, if they want to be on it, that's what we would prefer. I think it's good for the creator and it's good for us as well, because hopefully when your second product comes out, you'll come to Alakazam because you'll like the job we did with your first one.
Yep.
And by us promoting your name, it makes our job easier to sell your second product.
Absolutely.
You know, it works both ways.
Absolutely. 100%. And it is nice that when you go to Alakazam and you release a product, you kind of almost become part of the Alaka fam. You know, there's certain names that you think of with Alakazam these days, and they've changed over the years, but there's certain names that are associated with the Alakazam brand, and you know that they're going to bring something out that year or a couple of things that year, and, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I speak to somebody, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody, it was one of the movers and shakers. It was somebody in the company, and I can't remember. And they turned around to me. I genuinely can't remember. I wish I could. They turned around to me and they said, in the last couple of years, since like coming out of COVID, Alakazam always had a good reputation. But in the last couple of years, it's like it's just gone up to another level. And I'd agree with that, to be honest. You've always had a great reputation. You've always had a huge presence within this industry. But I think that it's stepped up in the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, and you're absolutely right. It was lockdown, and there was a lot of things I think go in that pot that's really made things change. One of the major things I've got to say is the enthusiasm that Harry's injected into the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think I started Alakazam when I was Harry's age. And even though I always felt, even in the latter years, I've always felt, yeah, I give it my all. When I actually sit back and examine it, I do think I had taken my foot off the pedal. I still think we were providing the best service we could provide, but I think we were sort of letting the business just run itself. Harry come in and he started doing the YouTubes, the Instas, the Facebooks, and you know, the sort of looking for exclusive products and doing this, that, and the other. And I think his energy has really, really helped. And then having, you know, creators like you on board has really helped.
One thing that I've noticed is pre-COVID, there was a certain type of Alakazam trick.
Yeah.
There was an Alakazam trick. You kind of look at it and you go, yep, that's an Alakazam trick. I don't think you can say that anymore because the plethora... And I mean, just look at the last few releases. Apparition, high-end coin trick, keyring, like the you know, sleight of hand combined with clever gimmicks and blah, 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 blah. You know, all of the stuff that's coming out, none of them, you don't have an Alakazam trick anymore. You just have tricks that come out with Alakazam. And I think that's a big leap forward.
Yeah. And once again, you know, I've got both you and Harry to thank for that, because I remember having a conversation with you a couple of years ago and you said, what is it you want? And I said, you know what I really want? I want a coin. I sounded like the Spice Girls then. I said, I want a coin trick. And you said, well, let's redo Mirage. You said, I've been doing it for years. I've got so many more routines for it. I've changed the handlings. I want to improve the gimmicks. I want to do this. And you know, that was a big change for us. And then Harry as well, Harry looks for different things. We are, even though, you know, Harry's my son and a lot of his magic, he's mostly learned from me and stuff like this. What excites Harry in magic is different to what excites me in magic, because we're from different times. you know, and Harry was the one that was pushing, like, you know, I want to, Dad, have you seen this? This guy's got in touch with me. I met this guy in Vegas and he showed me this trick. I love it. We should do something with it. And, you know, he's looking for stuff that I most probably would have looked at. And exactly what you said there, I most probably would have looked at and went, oh, it's great, but it's not an Alakazam product. Whereas now, everything is an Alakazam product if we like it.
Yeah.
You know? And that was a mental shift for me. But I think both you and Harry helped push that. And especially, you know, Hard Stretch, Roman, you bought to us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. That's another example of something that's just not on it. We've got something coming out, you know, at some point later on this year. That's totally not an Alakazam trick, but it is now. It is now. That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. And that's what's great. That's what's
even
great.
The one we've got coming out this month with Paul Fowler. That wouldn't, a couple of years ago, you wouldn't have said that's an Alakazam trick.
No.
But now I think, yeah. And I'm really pleased. It gives our range a bit of diversity as well. And it's nice. And it's exciting for us in the shop.
Yeah.
To demo different stuff. You know, we've got some really good stuff coming out now that you wouldn't class, or you back then you wouldn't have classed as Alakazam. But I think you're right. I think people's attitudes are changing now, and people realize that you can't now say that's an Alakazam product, because we've got our finger, even what we were discussing this morning.
Yes.
Again, completely out of the box for Alakazam, but it's an area we are going to move into. So yeah, I've got you guys to thank for that, and injecting a bit of life and excitement back into everything. But and also all our customers out there who constantly support us, and we're getting more and more people joining us from the US, which has always been my goal, something I've never really been able to achieve, but it looks like we're starting to achieve it, which is
100%. Like my channel, I have a bigger audience in America than anywhere. Like for some reason, Magic TV just is very popular in America. And the amount of people that say, hey, Alakazam, 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 it's just, yeah, you can tell. You can just tell. I can tell. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a special for your listeners,
ooh,
shall I give us a 10% off code?
I would love you to. I would love you to.
So I'm going to set this up while you're on Zoom. So we need an end date for it. So,
well, how about we run it until the next podcast that comes out next Wednesday? So run it from, this goes live at 9 o'clock. So run it through to 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Okay. So I'm going to do this while you're on the phone. This is happening real time. Let me sort this out. So here we go.
This is exciting. And do I get to pick the code?
Yes, you can. I was going to put it down as Where's Lloyd, but I'll let you choose.
Well, I think it's the Magic Podcast. It has to be Nardi's Nuts.
Okay. All in uppercase.
All in uppercase. Nardisnuts.
Okay. So... all customers, set an end date. So the end date will be Wednesday the 21st at 9 p.m.
Sounds like a plan to me. I think that's great.
Okay, so it's running as of now. And it ends the 21st of the 6th at 9 p.m. BST. And
you just put Nardi's Nuts into checkout.
Just put Nardi's Nuts into checkout. Let me have a look here. Something's gone wrong. Hang on, but it will be that.
Love it.
Again, hold on. So what have you got planned for the rest of the day after this podcast?
As soon as this podcast finishes in the next 5 minutes, I am going to be loading a van and heading down to Southampton, where I'll be doing an illusion show. I'll be getting back at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I've got to leave at 6:30 the following morning with Nemed and Ryland. Of course, Ryland's doing a series of shows in the theatre tomorrow. So me and Nemed are going to be taking his show for him. And then on Friday, I've got a gig up in York. Saturday, I'm performing at the world famous Smoke and Mirrors.
Wow. On
spreading the boards with Mr. Mark Bennett. And then Sunday, I'll be getting back very early in the morning from Smoke and Mirrors, and it's Father's Day, and I'll just be lying comatose on the sofa, demanding that my kids just look after me while I recover from the last few days.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you have a great week, but that code is now set. So Nardis Nuts, all in uppercase, NARDISNUTS, all in uppercase. That will save you 10% on your entire order.
Pete, thank you so much. And also, thank you for injecting a little bit of class on the Magic Podcast for the first time ever. Unfortunately, the Welsh twat is back next week. Well, we can assume he is. I don't know. These days, I'm not 100% sure, but he tells me he's back next week. So it'll be back to sheep jokes and knob gags. But at least for 1 week, we've had a bit of class on the Magic Podcast, which has been a nice, refreshing change.
Well, we will be able to gauge how jealous he was by the amount he mentions my nuts next week and how he goes, oh, yeah, you had these nuts on the show, did you? And everything else he talks about.
You know it. You know it. But Pete, thank you so much. If you guys want to use that code, go to alakazam.co.uk. Is there an American site as well? No, you just ordered.
No, it's all on the UK site now, but we do ship from our US
store. Yeah. So it's alakazam.co.uk. Go on there, order anything. Nardi's Nuts, 10% off. Go and check it out. Also, if you haven't already done so, make sure that you subscribe to Alakazam because the deep dive on a Sunday is brilliant. Subscribe on YouTube. That goes on YouTube. And on Tuesdays, Alakazam run the Alakazam Live on a Tuesday afternoon. So it's worth checking that out. That's on Facebook and YouTube as well.
And download the app.
Download the app. But Pete, thank you for joining me. I know you've got a busy day of editing me. So thank you for taking a couple of hours out of the schedule. And, you know, Lloyd's not here, so I'm going to have to wrap it up for him. So let me do my best Lloyd Barnes impression. Have a shit week, cunts. There you go. Did that come across? He delivers it with venom because he truly believes and hates everybody. You know, and I struggle to do it as well as Lloyd, but
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Pete, thank you so much, guys. I'll be back next week with Lloyd, but this was the Magic Podcast. That was Peter Nardi, and Pete, you rock. Thank you so much.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Guys, see you next week. On behalf of Pete, that was the Magic Podcast.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.